Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show. Podcast show.
It's another episode of the Knock On Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown. And that's, well, not JT Holton. JT's a little under the weather. I would be under the weather too if, well, actually, I'm not. But yeah, all JT's sports teams and all my sports teams had a really bad weekend. And I think JT is trying to recover from the Dogs getting destroyed, the Braves losing with a 3-1 lead, base running blunders, all kinds of stuff. And I think JT took it a little harder than you and I did. Just, you know, it catches up with you when you got a young one like he does. And
Yeah.
He's not sworn off the Braves forever, I don't think, or the
but
Dogs.
Stay tuned. But stay tuned, because he could be coming up next. Like the news, like the, we're doing like the news channels.
Oh,
because that's,
oh,
okay. That's what they do. So, well, stay tuned.
We do have breaking news, Josh.
Yes.
I found out this just before the show, okay? And I don't know if it's appropriate for me to, like, share this through our, you know, we're just a local guys, bloggers, right? Like, we don't have any deep intelligent information usually, except when we do.
Right.
And you know, we don't, like, break trades or announce that Nick Markakis is coming back from opting out, except when we do.
Right. People People don't tell us anything.
Yeah, but it was this is breaking news. I received an anonymous tip, Josh, just before the show, that a laptop has been found, and on that laptop is a Nick Markakis sex tape. And, you know, there's been some research done on it, and the National Director of Intelligence now says that it was not a plant by Roger Goodell. But the emails on that laptop show that Nick Markakis was being blackmailed by Dave Roberts.
Wow. That explains everything.
It explains a lot. I mean, and I know this sounds a little far-fetched, but, you know, in our current climate, in this dog-eat-dog world that is Major League Baseball, you know, everyone's a cheater now. And, yeah, I mean, I just believe that they tried to get him to opt out at the beginning of the year, and he said, I'm not opting out. I'm coming back. I don't care. And at that point, I guess the tape was found, although I'm not really sure why Nick would be ashamed of a sex tape of himself, I have to be honest. But that being said, you know, what do you think, Josh? What are your thoughts on this developing story?
I got to be honest. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, because if I'm Dave Roberts, the last guy that I want to see in the lineup against me is Nick Markakis out of Young Harris.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened. He got a triple, scored the only run.
But he did it with no men on base. And, you know, he had an opportunity with the bases loaded or whatever before.
Uh-huh.
And struck out looking. I think this was a cover-up. Like, Nick knew the blackmail was there. He struck out looking because of the blackmail. The next time he's like, there's nobody on base.
Right.
Dave can't really get me if nobody's on base because I didn't score a run, right? So let me show you what I could have done with the bases loaded.
He performed just enough.
Yeah.
So no one would know, but now we know. And this explains, you know, why his plate discipline was a little bit lackluster, because he's the greatest of all time at the plate. We know that.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why he was just watching fastballs zing by.
And now I know. Not even swinging the bat. He was just like looking at him. He was just like going right by him, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you notice, like, they kept pitching him out, you know, and shifting to the right on him, on a guy who was obviously compromised because he wasn't able to catch up to even like 95 mile an hour fastballs and hit them anywhere except to left field, you know?
Right.
So,
This is a lot to take in.
I know it is. But in today's climate, you know, I know this seems like, you know, crazy news, but, and you would never hear this anywhere else. I mean, nothing else like this would ever happen in today's world. you know, definitely not in politics with a presidential candidate's son or anything like that. That would never happen. So
That would never happen. That would never happen. And if it did, so, like, people would cover it and, you know, fairly
it would be
imbalanced.
Like front page news at CNN.
It'd be front
page
news. Like, yeah, because CNN is a news, they're a news network.
Yeah, or you know, I'm shocked ESPN isn't always already running with his story, except it wasn't racist emails. So I guess that makes sense. Josh, let's talk to NLCS. I mean, we're kind of here at it. We've beat all around the bush. The Braves take a 3-1 lead in the series. We're all hyped. We're pretty sure we're going to the World Series, and the Dodgers say not so fast and come back and painfully wipe out, you know, our favorite team, the Atlanta Braves. And I was there. I watched every pitch of all but the blowout game. And the blowout game, once it was like the third inning, I turned it off and I just checked in from time to time to make sure that nothing crazy had happened.
Yeah.
But So let's start here. I'm a little sad today. I woke up a little sad. Woke up a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of last night when the game was over, actually it was before the game was over. It was in the eighth inning. I got up. My dog needed to go outside. I let the dog outside. While I was standing there, you'd already texted me and thrown in the towel. You already had your Tampa Bay Rays hat on your head. You were 100% certain the Braves were not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of right there with
not
you.
Not to be confused
at that point.
With. You know, it's not that I didn't want them to come back. I just knew.
No, right. I understood.
I could just tell the vibe was gone. The vibe was gone.
I wanted to yell at you, and I just couldn't. And I was like, it's really not worth it. I'm just not going to yell at him. And so I just walked outside, and I looked up at the stars, and I said, you know, it's just a game. And then I went back inside and watched the Braves lose and immediately turned it off and went to sleep.
Yeah.
Some people did not. Some people take sports a lot more serious than you and I, and you and I take them fairly serious. I mean, we put out a weekly podcast about a sports team that has like three episodes a week. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's not all we talk about, but it's still kind of like the center of what we talk about if you come right back to it. So, I mean, we're kind of insane ourselves. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've been doing this for 4 years, so that's like what, Josh? Somewhere in the neighborhood of it's got to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 hours we've spent recording a podcast. That's kind of
a lot of time.
Stupid. Yeah.
Yeah.
It may be even more than that.
For
no money at all, hardly. We do appreciate the patrons that give a little bit to help cover the cost. Wish there were more of you.
We do.
But
we love you.
But anyway, some people took this kind of hard, Josh. I mean, some people were crying. Some people were upset. I've been there.
Wait. Were they really crying?
Yeah, there were some people really crying. And I'll say this.
Like adults?
Yeah, like adults. I've been there, and I have cried for a sports team before. I have. I've been that guy.
I have not.
I have not been the guy, like, bawling in the floor crying. But I've had a tear run down my cheek a little bit, you know.
The only time I cried was when D. Gordon hit that dinger the day after, or the next game after.
I cried. I cried at Derek Jeter's retirement, even though I wasn't a huge Derek Jeter fan. It was just really cool. Like Mariano Rivera's retirement, I cried at that one too. That was like a big deal. Like I'm a pretty easy crying guy. Like tears are not unusual for me. That being said, I wasn't even close to crying over this NLCS. It was a great series. It was a lot of fun. But I wasn't close to crying, and I go back and forth on, like, the easy thing would be to make fun of people that cry. Like, that's the easy thing, is to like make fun of people that take the Braves too serious and that kind of thing. But then I go back to, like, maybe it's a good thing we cry over sports and not over hyperinflated stuff. In a weird way.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of weird. But I will say this. I got invested into this series, Ken, more than I've been invested since I was a kid. And I really mean that. It really felt like it wasn't this fake asterisk COVID thing. Seriously, I loved it. And you know me. You guys both know that I have been the The old man yelling at the clouds, the really jaded, you know, guy in the room in regards to the season, how it started, the no fans aspect of it, which I still think is a bunch of malarkey. But I got to be honest, once they get to Arlington and our spiritual advisor, John D. Howard, is there on the ground, there's fans. There's not a lot of fans, but there's fans. You can hear them. Mm-hmm. I got really into it, man, especially the last three games. I really did. I mean, I was
so
like
it's
an
your
8-year-old.
Fault. So this whole thing's your fault. If you
yeah, basically. I mean, I was like an 8-year-old, man. Like the leading up to Sunday's game, I was wearing my Rome Braves official issued Braves jacket, which is like the what they wear in the dugout that my buddy Severo got me, hooked me up with like 4 or 5 years ago, and my 1993 National League champs cap. Okay. I don't do that. Okay. I haven't done that since I was a kid. Like I haven't fanned out like that since I was a kid. I actually was really excited about this team. I was having fun. It was like this nervous energy because the Braves haven't been in that situation since like what 99 or 2000 or whatever. So it was like 20 something years. It was awesome. It was awesome. And so emotion, that's my experience emotionally. And you know, I stayed up to the last out. I got trolled by Dodgers Twitter all night, all morning, and it was hilarious. But I mean I woke up, I was fine. So that was my take emotionally. I had a great time. Okay. I loved it as a fan. It was a lot of fun. It sucked, but it was also fun.
Let's talk about why it suckered you in that way, in a way. I don't know if that's the right words, but why it sucked you in. Maybe that's a better way. It wasn't suckered as much as it sucked you in.
You know, I, in general, over the last several years, I don't pay attention to the details of baseball as much as I did when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I would watch a game with intent with my dad, and there was no distractions, there was no social media. And we would watch the game. We would listen to the broadcast. We'd watch the game. We would watch the strategies of the game and all that. Over the last several years, I don't think I pay attention. And maybe that's because the Braves kind of have
sucked.
They've sucked for the better part of 20 years. I know what's going on.
I think you also got cynical and jaded about some of the people thanks to social media.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's some of it too, for sure.
Because you watch it thinking, what are they going to criticize Brian Snicker for this time, or why are they going to yell at Nick Markakis, and instead of just enjoying a baseball game?
Right. But the games haven't mattered that much too, so maybe that's some of it too. And these games matter so much, so I'm watching, I'm listening, I'm appreciating. Like, I can't remember the last time I talked about a pitch, like one pitch.
Yeah.
The pitch when
Ian
Anderson struck out the side Sunday night. That one pitch, where it was against Chris Taylor. If he walks Chris Taylor in that moment, you said it best. Mookie is up to bat with the bases loaded. I haven't talked about a pitch, Ken. I have not talked about a pitch for years. And that might sound like a small thing, but that's a big thing. For me to talk about a pitch, like one pitch, that means like, man, I am in. I'm in it. I'm watching it. I appreciate it. I think I've been jaded, and I've also taken for granted the intelligence of baseball and the strategy of baseball. I really mean that. And I kind of kick myself on the butt for that. But I've been watching it at such a high level, you know, for the last several years. I mean, been involved with it because of the podcast and being, you know, Braves Twitter. And then I kind of tried to be a baseball writer that one time. But I haven't really watched the details of the game. And I've forgotten moments like that. Like that moment, that was a very intentional pitch that took some cojones.
In case you don't remember, that for those listening, if you, in case you don't remember, Ian Anderson was in a 3-2 count with with Chris Taylor, and he threw. Right.
He'd been throwing high fastballs or changeups.
He'd been throwing high fastballs, and he threw below the zone, and it was below the strike zone. Was it the changeup? I know he was loving the changeup, or it was just a sinker. It may have just been a sinker, but he threw it, and it was a ball. The pitch was a ball.
It could have been ball four. It could have.
If he doesn't swing, it is ball four. Right. So.
Right.
It is, but it was not, but the pitch was super intentional. He threw the pitch there on purpose. It's not like he missed the strike zone. That's where he meant to put the pitch. He threw a ball on purpose to Chris
Taylor.
It's
not like that doesn't happen in baseball. It happens all the time in baseball.
No,
I just don't notice these things that much.
It's not usually in the NLCS and you're going to face Mookie Betts with the bases loaded, you know, in a game seven. Yeah, right.
His reaction and Travis d'Arnaud's reaction when they struck him out was – it was so awesome, and it made you realize, oh my gosh, they planned that. They were at war, and they planned this attack, and they won the battle. And oh my God, they're out of it. They're out of it. They're barely out of it. It was awesome. So listen, the Braves lost. It sucked, and we're going to talk about the factors why they lost, I'm sure. But factors aside, just as a fan, I loved it. It was awesome. It was so much fun.
So I think that the two are not mutually exclusive. I think part of the reason you love this series is part of the reason the Braves lost. And let me expound. I'm not sure what the union was thinking when MLB players agreed to this season. Maybe they were just wanting to get paid and get a season underway, okay? But when they looked at the playoff parts, and they agreed to the idea that the NLCS and ALCS should be played in 7 days, seven games, with no breaks. I don't think they realized what they were agreeing to. NLDS loved it. You should always play the NLDS division series in five games with no breaks. I loved it. You should always do that. The wild card play-ins, those three-game series, definitely no breaks. Do not take a day off. Play them 3 days. I was the same with NLDS. I liked it. Seven games in 7 days destroyed the Braves. Because
especially with the pitching depletion and stuff.
They used the same catcher the entire series, which is possibly a flaw by Snicker. I kind of think he probably should have given d'Arnaud at least half a game off, especially in that blowout game. He should have just brought in Flowers as soon as that game was blown open and let d'Arnaud rest the rest of the night. There's not much I can criticize Snit for, so these are like nitpicky things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you had several guys that were nursing some mild injuries. Acuna was obviously not 100%. Nick Markakis is a guy that can't play 7 days straight anymore, Josh. I love him, but I think playing seven days straight made him a non-factor in the last three games. Like, I don't think he can do that, you know. And I know he technically got a night off, because they swapped it up for the lefty.
And
he still came in the game.
He scored the only run in game six. And so there's some nuance there. It's like, okay, obviously we're the biggest Nick Markakis fans on the planet.
Right.
So, and I love to troll people about the fact that he scored the only run. But they would have lost anyways.
And Markakis looked like crap. I mean, like, we love him. We said it on the show, but he's looked terrible. Right. He's also lost a lot of weight, which is concerning. But that's neither here nor there right now. But when you ultimately, the biggest thing 7 games in 7 days killed Atlanta in is obviously their weakness going into the postseason was their rotation. You got Max Fried. You had Ian Anderson. And after that, it was a crapshoot. Now, Kyle Wright blew up, and look, Kyle Wright's going to get hung out to dry by Braves fans as the guy that gave up eight runs in the first and all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's still not why they lost the series, though, but yeah.
It's not. Yeah. Secondly, Kyle Wright didn't pitch that bad, and let me explain what I mean by that. If you go back and you watch that game, going back to that specific game, that umpire required him to get five outs in the first. Mm-hmm. They had the close play at first that the Dodgers made them review,
mm-hmm.
where they called him out on the field, and then they said Mookie Betts was safe at first.
Mm-hmm.
They had the play at second when Will Smith slid off the bag. Snicker doesn't challenge it. The Braves tagged him out, but because it was a bang-bang play, Snit didn't challenge it. The umps called it safe. So that's two outs that that Kyle Wright had to get again, right? Now, there came a point there where Kyle was in quicksand. And they talk about it on like the movie, like The Replacements. They talk about this. But it's a real thing in sports where you get in the moment and one thing goes wrong and then another thing goes wrong and then another thing goes wrong. And before long, it just feels like you're just sinking and there's no way to get out. You're just drowning. If you go back and you watch what Kyle Wright was actually throwing, his pitches were solid. It was just you cannot give the Dodgers, that's an elite baseball team on offense especially, you cannot give them five outs in an inning. You can't. Like, they're going to destroy you if they have five outs in an inning. I don't care who the pitcher is. If it's Max Fried and you give them two extra outs, they're going to get you. You know?
Was this Dodgers team, like, honestly, even though I think that, like you said earlier on the phone today, we were talking on the phone, the Braves should have won this series.
Oh,
but,
for sure, yeah.
But this Dodgers lineup, dude, for me, might have been the best combination of, like, plate discipline and power I've seen in a long time.
It's by far the most patient team I've ever seen play.
How many teams have you seen that with that much power who walk? Like Max Muncy.
Yeah.
Max Muncy, dude. Like, I didn't know Max Muncy. I mean, I knew Max Muncy was a stud, but so, my lord, dude.
I have to go back to the 90s to think about teams that come close to that.
Like the 95 Indians.
Yeah.
Or like the 94 Expos, maybe. But honestly, dude, I was.
Phillies is like.
That's part of the reason why I'm not like super mad the Braves lost. I mean, it sucked. They had a 3-1 lead. I mean,
they got beat by the best team in baseball.
Absolutely, man. They just did.
The Rays may even win the World Series, but the Dodgers are the best team in baseball.
They're incredible. Walker Buehler is incredible.
I don't like Walker Buehler. I don't think he was that good.
I think he was really good. And I think the redhead guy was all awesome.
Dustin May wasn't that awesome. Their starting pitching is not near as good as people make it out.
I think the biggest factor for the Braves, and I'm going to copy you because you brought it up on the phone earlier today.
I think
you're totally right. But I think there's lots of factors. The pitching, obviously.
Sure, sure.
But, dude, I think if Adam Duvall doesn't pull his oblique, man, in game one, dude, I think you're walking to the World Series.
Yeah, totally different series. Because
you're walking to the World Series.
It felt like losing Adam Duvall because of the changes they had to make to replace him. It felt like losing two batting order spots at the bottom of the order. And I love Christian Pache. Like, I do. I'm glad Christian Pache got to play. But now you got Nick Markakis, who was a black hole during this series. You've got Adam Duvall now gone. And you've got Austin Riley, who is still very much a streaky and can be a black hole. Like, this lineup was clicking, the only weak spot in the whole lineup was Austin Riley.
Exactly.
And Riley might get hot and hit three homers in a week, like, you know, or five homers in a week.
Right.
So like, that's you were okay dealing with him, you know, like that. But it was a mess.
Do you think losing Duvall had an effect on Acuña?
Oh, certainly, as far as setting the table.
Just the vibe too. Just the excitement, the vibe, and the energy. So. Like, I think that
I will say this
is real.
I think Acuña is going to have off-season wrist surgery of some sort. I think it'll be mild. I think it's like a cleanup sort of thing. But it would not shock me if tomorrow we get a notice saying Acuña is scheduled for surgery and they're going to, like, you know, clean up his wrist. Because he was hurting with, like, 3 weeks left to go in the season, I think it was. Or 2 weeks left. They gave him, like, you know, 5 or 6 days off there to try to just get him right. And then he fell on it during this series. And you could tell it smarted. And it kind of re-aggravated it for him. So
I think
he was trying to do too much, and I think some of that was injury as well.
Yeah,
so
I think losing Adam Duvall was the biggest factor. I think that affected like Travis d'Arnaud a little bit, like that whole like squad of like just powerness, it just like depleted it. I don't know. It was like you know, the biggest party pooper ever. And then Travis d'Arnaud doesn't really show up, and he's been amazing all year.
Yeah.
And I love Travis d'Arnaud, but he doesn't do anything hardly in the whole series. Azuna, meh. Acuña, obviously.
Well, Azuna took himself out of it. Azuna was hot. And then he got thrown out, leaving third too early because he couldn't see Mookie catch the ball. And when it was, he was blinded by three people in his way. He leaves. They get him out at third. And Ozuna was nothing the rest of the series. Like, he was out of it. He hit. Now, here's the other thing. The Braves are not the Dodgers. I saw somebody this week, that actually a buddy texted me. He's like, man, these two teams are like mirrors of each other. I'm like, no, they're not. Like, if you look at these two teams, they're not.
No,
they're not even remotely mirrors of each other. I was like, the Braves do hit a lot of home runs, but they're not patient at the plate. And that's part of their strategy. Like, they're not trying to be patient at the plate. Like, their strategy is we're going to go up there, we're going to jump on the first pitch, and we're going to ambush fastballs, and we're going to crush them out of the park. Like, and even if we don't crush them out of the park, we're going to
It's worked all year.
Oh, we're going to destroy the baseball.
But it's worked against the Marlins, the Nationals, the Phillies. And I'm just saying.
I will say this. I think it worked in this series.
Okay.
The Braves scored one less run than the Dodgers the entire series.
Yeah, that's true.
If you put them up numbers against numbers, they basically came out in the wash. I think it was one or two run differential. This is the thing, though. And that's with the Dodgers having a 15-run game. But here was the thing. The Braves, the last three games, were crushing the baseball. It just wasn't going out of the park. Mookie Betts robbed two or three home runs. There were multiple times that they crushed balls and they were right at somebody. Right at somebody. And it felt like over the last...
BABIP or something like that?
Yeah. And it felt like the last three games, they just got Bobby up to death. Like, I mean, Ozuna, in the last game, two different times, he crushed a baseball and somebody had him played perfectly. And maybe some of that's analytics and the Dodgers, like, knowing exactly where he's going to hit it, but some of it's just bad luck. Some of it's just you hit the ball and they happen to be there, you know? And so at the end of the day, like, I can't be mad at the offense all that much. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at the relief pitching. I think the relief pitching was solid. I think, like you said, at the end of the day, Duvall being gone, Markakis being a black hole definitely hurt, right? But at the end of the day, the two things that killed the Braves was 7 games in 7 days and not being able to run the bases.
Yeah, I hate to say it too, but
in game 7, if Riley and Dansby stay on the bag. I don't know. First of all, where was Dansby going? Like,
I don't know.
Why?
Just a brain fart, man.
Why? And then once Dansby goes, what the heck is Austin Riley doing? Get your butt to third if he's in a tag down. It doesn't matter. Like, get there. Like, if they throw you out, he scores. If they don't throw you out, you're standing on third. Like, if they get him, it made no sense.
That's multiple brain farts.
They
Snicker
ran
was
into
pissed.
A double play.
They
oh, he should have been.
Face. He was so pissed.
If that doesn't happen, I believe the Braves break it wide open right there and win the game. I truly believe that. I mean,
I don't disagree with you, man.
Mookie Betts, look at that. So in that inning, if you score, let's say you just score two in that inning instead of one, and then Mookie Betts robs Freddie Freeman of that home run. I mean, you're up. You're like, all the momentum belonged to the Braves, and they still got beat. Now, here's the thing about playing the Dodgers, Josh, that's crazy, is the Braves had a 3-0 lead or 3-1 lead or something like that, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, guys, we got to get more runs. This feels terrible. Like, I feel like there's one guy on the plate, nobody on the bases, and I feel like he's going to hit a home run. The Braves are going to be down, even though they have a 3-run lead. Like, right. That's the way it felt playing this Dodgers offense. They steamroll. They get going, and then it's like bloop, 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 bloop. There's suddenly 4 runs on the board, you know? It was wild.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Going back to the 7 games in 7 days, though, Josh, flipping it to the other side.
I didn't really think about that until today when you
why you got sucked in. Why you got sucked in.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. Normally, in a 7-game series, you get game 1 and game 2 back-to-back, right? You get kind of hyped up by game 2. But then, like, if you're following a little plateau thing here, you kind of get a little drop-off because you get – now we got a travel day, right? So, like, I get a night to breathe. I can watch some other team get destroyed in the playoffs that's not my team. You know, like, I can rest. I can enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then we're back. Okay, now we start game 3, 4, 5, right? Like, now – kind of get a little ramp up. We're feeling it now. By the time we get to game 5, we're really, whew, this thing's getting tense again. Oh, another travel day. And you get to kind of breathe again. You get to kind of breathe again. And then game six and seven are tense, but like you got that little drop off. I mean, it might not have been a real big drop off, but you still got that one day to breathe, right? Or two days in a seven game series. I was telling Cynthia, I said, baby, I feel like every game, because of this no breaks, like it felt like every night I was sitting down for 4 hours of anxiety. Like if I took anxiety meds, I would have been taking them. Like that's the way it felt. By game three, I was feeling like I would pee every inning. Like seriously, like I'd have to get up and pee every inning. Like I couldn't just rest. Now, as soon as the game was over, I could go right to sleep because I don't let it like control my life all the time. But like during the game, I was like amped up about it, you know, like I'm listening to it on the radio. I've got my phone app open, listening on the radio, watching it on TV with the TV on mute, you know, and just every pitch feels like it. And so that's my takeaway is this. I think MLB, if they pay attention to this, figured something out that they should hang on to. I don't think seven game series should be without breaks, but I do think get three game series and five game series, get rid of the breaks, man. Think of how much more amped you get from your fans without those breaks in there.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it. I think you're onto something.
Tied into all that, Josh, let me ask you this. Was it a bad thing? And this is just totally hindsight being 2020. Was it a bad thing that the Braves went 7-0 to start the postseason?
Wow. I haven't thought about that. So had they gone like 5-2 or something?
Sure. 6-3, you know?
It was kind of a weird 7-0 too, especially against the Reds.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
That was weird.
And it was a three-game series, so you really didn't want to take it the full three games. I kind of get it.
Right. Was it a bad thing? Man, I don't know. Do you think it was a bad thing?
I don't know. I was just thinking about it this afternoon. You think about how momentum works, especially in baseball, right? Like, you kind of – if the Braves have to play the next 2 weeks in a regular season, right, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping for what? 8 wins? Yeah. 9 wins in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. Right.
You don't really expect them all to come back to back to back. In fact, the longer the streak gets, the more you expect, okay,
a loss.
Something's going to come in here. We're going to lose, right? Like, there's going to be some losses eventually. Like, you don't play perfect for 20 games. It just doesn't happen, right? Like, and so I'm sitting there and I was thinking about it and I'm like, I mean, you're never going to play to lose. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they mismanaged these games. I'm saying, would it have been better for the Braves to have lost one game against the Reds or at least maybe one or two games even to the Marlins?
If I had to pick, did it hurt? Would it have been better or did it hurt them?
Mm-hmm.
I would pick it would have helped them.
To have lost some?
Yeah, if I had to pick one, and I can't be neutral, if they lost some, would it help, or did it not have an effect at all, or did it hurt? I think if they lost a couple more or a couple, yeah, it would.
I don't know. Like I go back and forth on it. It was just one of those questions that was like bouncing around in my head. Like, you know, would it have been better to kind of just throw one of those in there so that this whole momentum thing is you're not so sucked to it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyway,
Snicker.
That was a lot of fun.
Snicker.
Yeah, let's talk Snicker.
Snicker did great.
You did.
I got emotional.
You told us he was going to be the reason we lost before we started this.
I got emotional. Was it game six when he pinch hit Panda for Chris Bosh? I thought that was really stupid. And I called you after the game, and you talked me off the ledge, and you were right, because had Pache come up to bat, I think it was a better chance he'd get on base. I still think it was ridiculous, but they still probably would have lost the game. And Pache really didn't look that good that night either.
Yeah, I think he'd been 0-3 that night already. So,
yeah. I think that was silly. another thing, and I know we've disagreed about it on the phone today, and I understand why. I really do get it. I guess part of me, you know, I don't know, thinks it should still be 1974, and if it was, then Minter stays in the game till his arm falls off and doesn't come out, you know, after three innings. But you mentioned your point was it might not have been so much of that as it was we have this elite bullpen, and so just, you know, why not take him out and put in the bullpen? And I think that was some of it too. It was, I think it was both. I think it was the way the game's played now, Minter is not stretched out as a starter.
Sure.
And we also have like the best bullpen, like maybe in baseball. So why not? You know what I mean? So I get it, but he looked so good. Oh my God. AJ Minter, dude. He looked like Billy Wagner 2.0, man. Like,
boy, he was great, wasn't he?
Electric. Crazy. He looked so good. Was it nine strikeouts or 10? Nine or 10?
In three innings? It was wild. Stupid. I was sitting there watching him.
The
and
Dodgers.
I was like,
he made the Dodgers look stupid.
Yeah.
Him and Bryce Wilson. And I think Bryce Wilson, I don't want to say, like, was that a fluke or not, but I don't know. I don't know if that was, like, you know, is that the real Bryce Wilson? I don't know. But I think that was the real AJ Minter.
I think that was the real Bryce Wilson. I think that's the Bryce Wilson we've been waiting on to show up. That
you think so? Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. Andy Harris, our buddy, right? Andy said before the game, he said Bryce Wilson's going to carry go six innings with no hits. He went six innings with one hit. And he was
Andy,
not being
Andy's
facetious.
Like the, Andy
has been a Bryce Wilson stan from the beginning. He said this kid's one of the best pitchers we have in the system.
I interviewed Mike Soroka in 2016, he told me that.
Yeah.
When I interviewed Mike Soroka, I said one of my questions was, because that was just one of those years where, like, there was, the farm was just like, it was ridiculous. There's so many guys.
Right.
But because there were so many guys, a lot of guys weren't getting any love, any coverage. And I asked Soroka, I said, hey, who's a guy on the squad, man, that never gets any attention that you think is going to, like, could be a badass? He's like, Bryce Wilson.
Yeah.
And that was in 2016.
This is the thing. Bryce Wilson has not had the changeup that he had. He's not had the movement on his four seam that he had. And he was incredible. I mean,
he's
fantastic.
So good,
incredible. Yeah. So, I mean,
well, I believe it's real then.
Yeah. I mean, I
can't question Andy Harris and Mike Soroka. You know what I mean? That'd be silly. I can question his politics, though, but not his baseball takes.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. But don't mess with his baseball takes, right? I mean, me and Andy may not see eye to eye on making America great again, but he definitely is good at knowing when Bryce Wilson's going to be great again. That Bryce Wilson is who Andy says we can expect in the future, that not necessarily that he's going to pitch, you know, six innings willing hit ball all the time, but he's going to be a 200 inning workhorse that gives you a 3.35 ERA, you know, 3 to 3.5 ERA. He's not necessarily going to be a top rotation guy, but he's going to give you innings that, and he's going to have games like that one where he's almost unhittable. So
yeah,
I'll take it. I'll take it. Let's talk a few other things. We talked about Duvall. We talked about Acuna. Did you see Freddie limping around a little bit right at the end of the game? I think he fouled a ball off his shin or something. That was a little disappointing towards the end. It's part of why I kind of believed you when you said the Braves weren't coming back.
Yeah, that whole dugout, man. I saw that he was limping in the dugout, and I don't know what's going on with Freddie.
Let's talk this though. You and I think we see this differently, and I saw you kind of getting into it on Twitter with some people about it. So I think it's a good conversation to have.
Uh-oh.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz. What's your take on them?
I think John Smoltz. Let me qualify this with saying, I adore John Smoltz. I think he's an angel. I think he loves the Lord. I think he's a good person. I don't think Presbyterians are the best. They're not my personal brand, but for a Presbyterian, like, it doesn't get much better than John Smoltz. You know what I mean? That being said, I don't think he's been good. When he first started calling games, I don't remember the year, but I liked it. I thought he was good. And so I don't know if that's because of a change in me or a change in him. I don't know. I remember liking him at first, and now I'm like, I don't like it. But let me say this, though. Hold on. I think game 6 and 7, he got better. And maybe that's just because, like, I'm a temperamental crazy person. I don't know, but like,
I'll be honest, I wouldn't have a clue because I had him muted by the time we got to game 6 and 7.
In general, I think he sucked. He did better the last couple games.
Okay.
So that's my take on John Smoltz. In general, honestly, like, he shouldn't call baseball games.
I agree. Okay, John, hang on. I will say this about John, okay, and I'll let you finish what you're saying. I think John gets into, like, word vomit. He doesn't know what else to say, and he just starts spewing crap out of his mouth.
I totally agree. There are moments when he does have some cool insight. He'll see something before it happens, and that's cool. And that's just like, I mean, you can't not know those things because you're John Smoltz, you know?
Well, I mean, that's what makes Tony Romo awesome. Yeah.
Joe Buck, here's my take on Joe Buck. This is not going to be popular. I don't dislike Joe Buck. I don't hate it, but it depends on who he's with. Obviously, when he's with Tim McCarver, it's trash. Tim McCarver is the yeah, worst.
Did we get a 5-minute video break celebrating Tim McCarver's birthday during the freaking NLCS between the Dodgers and the Braves? Like, I was throwing stuff at my TV.
I just want everybody to know, like, that I prefer your method, which was radio, the local radio feed, you know, Jim Powell or Ben Ingram with Joe Simpson. I love it. And they are better than any national broadcaster,
for sure,
in my opinion, on the planet. And Joe Simpson, I've listened to several radio feeds this year.
Oh, God, he's so good during his postseason.
Joe Simpson on the radio, dude. And I was telling y'all this, I feel like I was early on Joe Simpson on the radio, but I was like, you know, back, even last year, I remember last year being down in Dallas, Georgia with my brother, hanging out on my tailgate with the radio on, drinking some Bush lattes, and Joe Simpson on the radio. And, you know, I'd only heard him on TV for all those years, right?
Yeah.
Joe Simpson on the radio is fantastic. He's got such a great sense of humor. He throws shade like he can't maybe on a TV broadcast, because people on TV are, you know, the Twitter people are crazy, but he can kind of get away with some stuff, you know what I mean, on the radio.
Sure.
But I don't hate Joe Buck. That's Joe Buck's totally different than like Ben Ingram, Jim Powell, and Joe Simpson. I get it. And maybe it's his voice. I love Joe Buck's voice. Joe Buck's voice to me just sounds like October. It sounds like leaves are changing. It's 50 degrees outside. I got a bowl of chili, baby, and I got football. I got postseason baseball. God bless America. So maybe some of it's that and not so much his skill. Also, I will say this. I saw a tweet earlier today from some sports site saying that Joe Buck is calling every night this week. Joe Buck is either calling an NFL game or a baseball game. And I'm like, that's really cool. Also, that's really stupid. Like, one guy, you're telling me of all the talent in America, like, there's got to be more to choose from than Joe. Why, you know what I mean? Like, why can't why can't Ben Ingram or Jim Powell get some love? I don't know. Or Grant McCauley.
Yeah, I
but I don't hate Joe Buck. Everybody hates Joe Buck on Twitter. I don't hate him.
I like Joe Buck in football. I do.
Joe Buck and football is great. Yeah. Joe Buck and football is better than baseball. I'll admit that.
I hated Joe Buck during this series. I think Joe Buck is a Dodgers fan, and I do not normally think Joe Buck like tips a hand one way or the other, but my God, I got so tired of him drooling over Mookie Betts when he was hitting. Like, Mookie Betts had nothing but singles until his last at bat of the entire series. Like, shut up.
I will say this about that.
Hit a home run, he's losing his mind, and he doesn't do it for the Braves. Like, he doesn't lose his mind when the Braves are hitting home runs. And I'm like, you are killing me, dude. Shut up. You're like, stop gagging on it, you know?
I don't disagree, but I did think it was funny, and I tweeted a two screenshot pictures of this. It was funny. If you can probably still do it now because it's not been that long ago. If you just like Google search Joe Buck biased or Smoltz biased, you'll just laugh because there's so many Dodgers fans who were like, Joe Buck is so biased. Why does he like the Braves?
Yeah,
and especially Smoltz. Like all these Dodgers fans on Twitter were like, oh my God, John Smoltz is so biased. And then Dylan Short is like, oh my God, why is John Smoltz a Dodgers fan? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, John Smoltz, he did say some dumb stuff. And this is where that comes down to it, is it really did feel like at times.
I don't disagree.
I think Smoltz oversells himself so that people don't think he's a Braves homer.
I actually agree with that. I think
it's
that he's
annoying.
Yeah. He didn't do it. I will say he didn't do it game 7. I really think so. I think he was pretty down the middle, but I agree with you.
Although he advocated for Muncy running over Darno. Like, what? Who are you? Like, he said Muncy should have cleaned his clock or something like that, or like plowed over him. I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Get out of here.
I don't know. I don't know. I think he did okay game 7.
Greg Olson should have power slammed him on his back when he jumped into his arms.
Yeah.
If that's how he feels about catchers. Just say it.
All of our young listeners don't know what you're talking about.
I know they don't, but, the old folks do. Old
all the young folks that grew up on Rick and Keel.
Yeah. Well, Josh, let's do this. For those of you who might be new to Knock Home Nation, during the offseason, you're wondering, are we going to be having podcasts? Are we going to still be talking about the Braves? We'll still talk about the Braves sometime. When big stuff comes up, we may even dedicate like a whole episode to it. But we don't live and breathe Braves only. There's other stuff that goes on in life. But we will have podcasts dropping throughout the offseason. We may cut back just a little bit on the amount per week and all that kind of fun stuff. If big stuff comes up, you may see more podcasts those weeks than others. But that being said, we will shoot to at least put out 2 podcasts per week at the minimum for you guys to check out and enjoy. And that's going to do it for today's. Josh, what a fun season. We'll talk more about like kind of wrapping up the season and talk about all the details of it, but for a season we didn't know if we were going to get to have because the socialists shut down the country, it was all right. It was all right. And people are going to meme about it and make fun of it, but it's kind of true. What a bright future Atlanta has right now. Like, you couldn't say that 5 years ago.
You couldn't say it. We're going to talk about the next show, And you've heard that the last couple of years, maybe.
Sure.
And it's not a cop out. I saw Wes Blankenship's video earlier, and I love Wes. I think he's the best. But I didn't like
the tone was a little weird. The tone was a little weird.
I
thought he had morphed
future...
into Jeff from Prospects Braves there for just a minute. Yeah, I thought he turned into Jeff. Yeah, but
it was a little bit concerning. Yeah. Hopefully he's better now. Hey, Wes.
Hey, I mean, Wes, he also had dealt with Georgia getting their butts kicked on Saturday night. So, I understand.
That's true.
That's going to do it for
as did we.
Today's Knock Home Nation. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us this year during Braves season. Tune in next time. We'll talk about the past season. We'll talk a little bit about the future. We're not going to go too far in depth, but we'll talk a little bit about the future. And who knows? We might get cooking recipes or something. It'll be fun.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.